Welcome to the Nourished and Free podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Yates, a registered dietitian, and this is where we talk all things intuitive eating, body image, and really just how to create a healthy relationship with food. The body mass index. We've all seen the charts. We've all seen the chart that has the green area, the red area, the yellow area. And we've all been scared by the BMI before. I want to talk about why this is not a good indication of health at all and why we really should never care what that number is. As a dietitian, I, of course, was trained on how to calculate this and how to interpret it and how to use it. But to be honest, in my practice, when I look at BMI, it's about 5% or less of what I'm considering when I consider someone's overall health. So I want to take you more into why that is, into the history of it, and into the ugly truth of the BMI chart. Let's get started. I am excited to dig into this topic. So, body mass index, BMI, we know this as a tool that's used way too often in medical settings to determine, all right, what's this person's overall weight status in relation to their height? Right? If you've ever been to the doctor, my guess is that you've been told what your BMI was, right? It's right there on the charting notes that they hand you after your visit. Or if you don't get those notes, then I'm sure that either the nurse or the practitioner told you. And you, of course, see your weight as well. If your BMI was quote-unquote too high, then my guess is you were also told you need to lose weight, right? Doesn't even really matter if everything else about your health is perfect. If you happen to have too high of a BMI and that one number's off, you probably were told that you needed to fix it. The 2020 to 2025 dietary guidelines encourages Americans to maintain a quote-unquote healthy body weight. And they make a point to highlight that 74% of U.S. citizens, quote, have overweight or obesity, end quote. First of all, this is a direct quote from the guidelines, and I hate this. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with saying someone has overweight or obesity as if it's a disease. It's not a disease. It's literally just a term that is arbitrarily made up based on this BMI chart, which I'm going to give you all the dirty details on, right? So in this report, it says, okay, 74% of US citizens have overweight or obesity, which then they talk about how to lose weight. So it's clear that the message is, if you're overweight or obese, that's unhealthy, and you need to lose weight in order to be healthy, right? Anybody, if you ask anybody walking down the street, if they think that losing weight is healthy, they're going to say yes. That's just the messages that we receive all the time, even from these medical professionals and from government organizations that are, their goal is to teach us how to be healthy, right? But these terms of being healthy, overweight, and obese, and underweight, they're not accurate measures of health at all. At all. I can't wait to break this down more, because this measurement, if we are using it, if we're giving it this much weight, no pun intended, if we're giving it this much emphasis, I should say it that way, it really causes more harm than good. So you can obviously pop over to Google, type in the BMI ranges and see what each range, what the numbers are that correlate with it. But I'm here to talk about why those numbers are bogus anyway. So let's talk about, first of all, I think we get confused by BMI giving us that overweight and obese result, right? That label. And usually when someone is using the term overweight or obese, they are indicating that that person is fat, right? Or they're interpreting that into meaning they are fat. So if BMI has the power to place a label like obese, does that mean it's also telling us how much fat we have on our bodies then, if we typically think that obese equals fat? No, absolutely not. One of the actually main problems and critiques around BMI is that it doesn't take into account what is contributing to the total body weight. It just uses total body weight in the calculation. It doesn't separate that weight out into body fat versus muscle mass versus water versus whatever. A BMI result actually doesn't tell us anything about that individual's total body fat at all. So, for example, like a bodybuilder, or if we think about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? Somebody with just massive amounts of muscle would actually be labeled as overweight, or in the case of Dwayne The Rock, he's probably labeled as obese, right? Which, according to BMI, they are. But in fact, they're really lean and they have very little body fat. But because of these labels of overweight and obese, we think that that must mean those people must be fat, right? But BMI doesn't take into account that. So this is one of the many reasons that it's really preposterous to tell somebody to lose weight based on their BMI alone. That makes absolutely no sense. Why are we telling somebody you're overweight, you need to lose weight, but we're not actually looking at how much muscle mass is on them? They could be a very lean individual. So what BMI has really turned into is a chart that tells you if you're healthy or not. And there's certainly suggestions in research that a higher BMI may be associated with a higher health risk. But the problem is that these type of studies, they can't automatically establish a cause and effect relationship. They just can't. A high BMI cannot cause a disease. It's our habits that do, in relation to our genetics and in our environment. Weight alone, body weight, does not equal development of a disease. We'd have way more diseases if that was true. It's the habits. It's the combination of how we live our life in addition to what our genetic coding is, in addition to where we live and what we're surrounded by. Right? It has nothing to do with our BMI. So just because someone has a high BMI does not automatically mean they need to lose weight for their health. I hear that a lot, right? I talk to women that say, well, my relationship with food is pretty good. And, you know, I actually do move my body pretty frequently, but I just need to lose weight for my health. And that's their justification. And it's like, what do you mean? Why do you need to lose weight for your health if you're already living a healthy life? Are you basing that just on your BMI chart? Because we can just toss that out the window. You can stop stressing about that like yesterday. What we need to look at when we're measuring health status in an individual is those metabolic indicators like blood pressure and triglycerides, cholesterol, glucose, insulin resistant. What's their C-reactive protein data? Like, all those kinds of things are what we need to actually look at. That is far more accurate in telling us how close is this person towards having a serious issue, right? We know that high triglycerides are correlated with heart disease. But you can see somebody with high triglycerides and who has heart disease that's not necessarily overweight or obese. So there's been some studies that I want to bring up that look at, okay, what happens when we use BMI to measure health? Is it properly diagnosing people or not? And sure enough, in a 2008 study, it was shown that over half of U.S. Americans, right, this is millions and millions and millions of people who were overweight, right, they fell into that category, they were being misdiagnosed as unhealthy because metabolically, they had rock star numbers. They were completely healthy, but just because of the fact that they were overweight, they were labeled as unhealthy. Likewise, 32% of people in that obese category were labeled as unhealthy, but it wasn't accurate based on their metabolic indicators when we dug a little bit deeper. And interestingly, we also are quick to say, okay, well, you have a healthy weight, so you must be a healthy individual. That's not always true. In that study, we also saw that 24% of normal weight adults were wrongly diagnosed as healthy. Metabolically, they actually were not looking good. In 2016, a little bit more recent, there was a report that 54 million Americans were labeled as obese or overweight, but they were in fact healthy according to their metabolic indicators, those way more reliable indicators. So the next time that we see somebody and say, oh, they're overweight, they need to lose weight, check yourself, right? Why are we saying that? How do we know that they're actually unhealthy? We don't. We cannot make that decision just based on their weight. You need to actually look at lab values. You need to actually look at habits and what's going on with that individual on the inside. Do you find yourself obsessing over food or wondering, do I have a food addiction? Are you wishing so desperately that you could see someone else when you look in the mirror? Are you fed up with trying every diet under the sun only to wind up binge eating and emotional eating and having tons of food guilt later? I used to think that counting every calorie was the key to making sure I was in control of food, but the truth was I needed a simple, adaptable style of eating that I could rely on for the rest of my life and that did not take up extra time, money, or energy. When I started intuitive eating, it was like the world went from being in black and white to color. My PCOS symptoms were reversed, I could eat spontaneously without fear of binging or having food guilt later on, and I had more mental space to put towards my dreams, my goals, and my loved ones. If you're ready to stop letting fear of binging, emotional eating, and how you look in your body take away those valuable moments in your life, I'd like to invite you to apply for Nourished and Free, my group coaching program. Visit yatesnutrition.com/application to apply. And if it's a good fit, I'll send you an extra special private training all about my 4-part system that I use to get rid of food guilt, emotional eating, binge eating, and to get off of that dieting roller coaster. Visit yatesnutrition.com/application to apply now and receive that free training. Most hilarious parts of BMI, and the reason that it's so ridiculous that we use it to measure health in the way we do, is when you actually take a look at how it was created. Adolf Kettlet was an astronomer and mathematician. He was not a physiologist, he was not a doctor, he was not a medical professional at all, and he developed his Kettlet index in 1832, almost 200 years ago. When he developed the index, he did it knowing that he was from Belgium, and he knew that, okay, well, the pool of people that I have around me are European men, and those are the people that I'm basing this off of. So I know the limitations here. I know that this shouldn't be used to measure anything at the individual level. He actually encouraged anybody that saw his index or used his index to not use it for measuring health. He said, this is limited. We can only use it for populations. Don't use it on individuals and don't use it to measure health. Well, that's exactly what it's turned into, is it's turned into a tool that measures an individual's health status, right? And that was exactly what he told us not to do. So what happened with this index is that at the turn of the century in 1899, the Association of Life Insurance Medical Directors of America, they decided, hey, we're going to use this to determine our insurance coverage. We're going to use it to determine whether people are healthy or not. And they were basing this on mortality records that was data mostly just reflecting wealthy white men. And using that data and those mortality rates, they said, okay, the overweights are clearly less desirable than either the normal or underweights. That was like, this is a direct quote. So they were saying, based on these records that are only on a small population of wealthy white men, we're going to go ahead and decide that anybody that's overweight is less desirable. What does this mean? It means that BMI categories that were adopted by insurance companies to decide who is and who isn't more at risk, it was based on really bad science. And then these companies worked really hard in the 1900s to present those higher weight individuals as a risk to the medical communities. They would scour for any data, whether it was good data or not, that supported their point. They'd bring it to doctors and say, you need to be telling overweight people to lose weight. The problem with this, like I said, it was based on bad science. It was based on an extremely limited report. Our modern records now show that when we're taking into account all races, genders, socioeconomic statuses, we're really taking into account just everybody, right? An accurate reflection of our country. It shows that those in the overweight category, they actually have the lowest mortality rates. They're surviving better than the rest of us. So this data is faulty and it needs to be updated. I think it's worth mentioning BMI. I mean, some people have said this is racist and this is sexist to use this because the way it was created was only looking at European white men. I think that we're not so far from the truth on that, right? If we consider a black woman going to a doctor and she's told she needs to lose weight based on her BMI alone, right? Maybe all of those other health indicators are great, but it's just the BMI is higher than what the chart says, right? The chart that never took into account somebody of her ethnicity or her gender. That's not fair, right? That's unscientific and unethical for her to be told she needs to lose weight just based on that number. And that's just one example. I mean, again, if we were going to use this tool to measure health, which we shouldn't, period, but if we were going to, it would really only make sense to do that to white men, not women at all, and no other males that are anything other than of European descent. So an interesting thing that I want to bring up about BMI, just to kind of show you how flawed and, I mean, honestly, kind of corrupt it is. If you were around in 1998, you may remember that the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, they released a report changing the threshold for each of those BMI categories. What that means is that overnight, more people were being shifted into new, higher BMI categories. Not because they gained weight, right? Not because they went to bed a normal weight and then woke up overweight, just because the cutoffs had changed, right? So imagine you do go to bed and you're told that day you're normal weight, you're healthy, you don't need to lose any weight. But then you wake up, you step on the scale and the number is the exact same, but all of a sudden now you're being told that you're overweight and you need to lose weight, right? That was what happened in 1998, is these thresholds got shifted. And now millions of people were suddenly overweight or obese. So why did they do that? Well, the thresholds were altered because of a report that was primarily written by an organization called, this makes me cringe so much, it was called the International Obesity Task Force. Can't make this stuff up. This task force, they received their funds for the report, mostly from two pharmaceutical companies, okay? And these companies, they developed weight loss drugs. So this is important information because if we think about it, lowering the thresholds of BMI based on this report, that's a really clever business move for the drug companies, because if millions of people suddenly think they have a weight problem and that they need to lose weight, then the companies selling weight loss drugs, they benefit greatly. Suddenly they are making way more money. My initial reaction to things is, okay, well, yeah, it looks bad, but I want to give the benefit of the doubt before I make a judgment call. Okay, that's kind of how I like to live. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. And see, all right, well, let me get the whole story, right? Maybe this report, even though it was from an organization that would financially benefit from there being more people thinking they needed to lose weight, that doesn't necessarily mean the report was actually a bad one, though, with faulty science. So let's look into that, right? Well, it's actually been shown that when studies are financed by the industry related to the study itself, they are 17 times more likely to have favorable results than if they were funded by non-industry sources. Okay, so we saw this in a 2016 review looking at reports on artificial sweeteners. When the studies done on artificial sweeteners were funded by food and nutrition related industries, they were 17 times more likely to show favorable results. But when they were funded by those non-food industry sources, then that's like when we started to see the real data. I was reading Anti-Diet by Christy Harrison, and she, I just have to quote her directly because I love the way she said it. She said, "When you're being paid by a company to research its product, you're probably going to want to produce results to keep the bosses happy," right? So that's why it matters that this obesity task force was behind the report that ultimately changed the BMI thresholds, because they were funded by pharmaceutical companies who benefited from people knowing or thinking that they needed to lose weight. It is important that we realize that, because there's a strong reason to believe that there's bias there. So hopefully after all of this, you're wondering why we ever referenced BMI in the first place, right? It's clearly a flawed measurement, and I don't know why we continue to reference it as well. Honestly, I don't know why we still do. There's been a lot of researchers that say it should be discarded as outdated and ineffective, because it is, right? But we're still using it. So for anybody listening to this, I just want to empower you. If you're ever told your health status based on your BMI, please put the blinders on. Please let that stuff just roll right off of you, because we know that BMI is completely flawed. It's completely flawed. It's not accurate. It doesn't tell us anything about someone's health. So next time that you go to the doctor's office and you're told you're overweight or you're obese and you need to lose weight, and that doctor's making that judgment call based on your BMI, I just want to encourage you to remember, you know what? BMI, it might as well not exist. That's how helpful it is. So I'm not going to let this get to me. I'm just going to let it roll right off. And I'm going to look at the things that really do matter. How do I live my life? What is my relationship with food like? What is my relationship with exercise like? What are my labs? What does my family history say about me, right? That's what matters. I don't want you to get caught up in, okay, my BMI is overweight, so now I automatically need to lose weight. If you're living a perfectly healthy life, you don't need to lose weight. And I know that's really hard to wrap your mind around. I get it. It's hard. But I hope that this episode at least will start to give you the freedom to break away from the chains of the BMI chart and just completely let it go. Thank you so much for being a listener to my podcast. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate your support. If you would take a minute and leave me a review, that would mean the world. I would love to know what you think, or even just a quick 5-star rating would be incredible. If you have a specific question or topic that you would like me to talk about on a future episode, send me an email at michelle@yatesnutrition.com, and I would love to add it to my lineup. I'm always looking for new ideas. And if you're ready to get help with healing your relationship with food and with fostering that body acceptance so that you can feel comfortable in your skin for the rest of your life, send me an email and we'll talk about how we can work together. My email is Michelle, that's with two L's and an E at the end, @yatesnutrition.com. Again, that's Michelle@yatesnutrition.com, and I can't wait to hear from you.